I'm Erin Holt, and this is the Functional Nutrition Podcast, where we lean into intuitive functional medicine. We look at how diet, our environment, our emotions, and our beliefs all affect our physical health. This podcast is your full-bodied, well-rounded resource. I've got over a decade of clinical experience, and because of that, I've got a major bone to pick with diet culture and the conventional healthcare model. They're both failing so many of us. But functional medicine isn't the panacea that it's made out to be either. We've got some work to do, and that's why creating a new model is my life's work. I believe in the ripple effect, so I founded the Functional Nutrition Academy, a school and mentorship for practitioners who want to do the same. This show is for you if you're looking for new ways of thinking about your health and you're ready to be an active participant in your own healing. Please keep in mind this podcast is created for educational purposes only and should never be used as a replacement for medical diagnosis or treatment. I would love for you to follow the show, rate, review, and share because you never know whose life you might change. And of course, keep coming back for more. Hello, friends. A couple of weeks ago, I released part of an F&A coaching call where somebody asked a question and I answered the question, part of the Functional Nutrition Academy. And I got some really great feedback from that. A lot of you reached out to say you really loved that episode. So we went ahead and gathered up another one for you. And this is one where I'm answering the question, if you had to start your business from scratch, what would be the first three things you would prioritize? And I love this question because where I'm at in my business, I have a pretty substantially sized company. We do a lot. I've got my fingers in a lot of pots. We have really great revenue. We have really great profit. We've got multiple revenue streams. Like, it's big. But that is not where I started, not even by a long shot. The first money that I made through my nutrition business, the first trading a service for dollars, was a nutrition course that I cobbled together because one of my mentors who ran a meditation school was like, hey, I would love to have a nutrition component. Can we pull something off? And I would literally type out an email every single night and email participants in the group every single day for 21 days straight. And that was my first offer. And obviously, since then, things have grown, have evolved, have escalated. But I had to start somewhere because things wouldn't have grown, evolved, and escalated if I didn't just get started. And we can get so stuck in the trap of overthinking, overanalyzing, thinking we have to get everything perfect, everything has to be done exactly right before we just get started. And this is what keeps people stuck and keeps people from evolving and from growing. And so I love this question and I want to share this question. I recognize that not everybody that listens to the podcast is a business owner or a practitioner that is starting a private practice. But if you are one of those people, then this episode is going to be hopefully really beneficial for you. And this is just a glimpse, a glimmer into one of the very many things that you get in F&A. F&A is the Functional Nutrition Academy. It's my 14-month practitioner training and mentorship program, and we are officially open for enrollment. And I would love to personally invite you in. And like I said, today is a little bit of a taste. It's a little bit of a teaser of what you get inside the program. It's 14 months of really comprehensive functional medicine training and education. It is also clinical mentorship. It is also business training and business mentorship. And then of course we have the community as well. We open twice a year and right now we're open for the spring cohort. Classes will officially start May 1st. We have a limited amount of seats and once they're gone, they are gone. So get your applications in and we're going to help you start building up the private practice, the business, and the life of your dreams. As one of our grads, Chelsea Sanfilippo, says, I cannot recommend this program enough or speak more highly of it. It changed my life and I'm forever grateful. I continue to gain an insane amount of expansive wisdom, more confidence in myself, and helpful support from it. Stephanie Darby says, the absolute best thing I did for myself and my clients was join F&A. Liz Whitcomb says, hands down, the best course I've ever taken. And you guys, these aren't even the testimonials from our website. Those are just screen grabs that I took from Instagram this week alone. So I love this program. I stand by it. I'm so proud and honored that our students and grads feel the same. And I would love to have you participate in the spring cohort. Reach out to us with any questions that you have. My team is always ready, willing, and available to help out. So with all that said, here's me answering the question. If I had to start my business from scratch, what would be the first three things I would prioritize? So the question is, if you had to start your business from scratch, what would be the first three things you would prioritize? She says she's interested to see if the group has any feedback. I'm starting from zero, so appreciate any feedback. Awesome. Started from the bottom. No, here. So the very first thing that I'm going to say is get clients in person. Even if your goal is to have an online business and an online presence, I would prioritize, getting people in person. The reason that I say this as like the number one thing is I just had lunch last week or the week before with Meg O'Neill. So Meg O'Neill has taught some classes here and she does a lot with marketing and online business. And so I'm like, how's business? How are things going? I'm like, I know you have a lot of new clients. How's it going? And she's like, you know, what's interesting that I'm seeing is a pattern of people like kind of just starting out and putting effort into the Instagram thing or into the TikTok thing, into the social media thing, and then being like, where are the customers? And so it's almost like there's this misaligned expectation. It is very true that social media can be a massive boon for your business. And we don't want to overlook that as a resource, but it's not necessarily the place to get started. And if your goal is to build a full-time private practice that can pay your bills, you're not going to do that by like TikToking and making smoothies on Instagram. Like that is true. Like you can show me the exception to the rule. Even if you go viral, those people want more of that. Show me more smoothie recipes. They're not like, show me how I can pay you to help me with my nutrition. So you want to get really, really, really clear on your goals. Do you want to build a private practice that pays your bills, or do you want to be an influencer? And by the way, it's totally fine if this is what you want to do, totally fine. But if this is the ultimate goal, then we want to make sure that all the action steps you're taking are feeding into that goal rather than a goal that you don't really have. And it's just so much easier to get clients in person than it is to get clients on social media when we're first starting out. Okay. And that's what Cynthia's question is. Starting from scratch, what do I do? Because people will come to you online if they believe that you can get them results. But the way that you show them that you can get them results is through examples of you have already doing it. Right? With clients. So where are you going to get those clients? And I'll talk about workshops. I think workshops built my business, helped me build my business. So I'll talk about like the specifics of what that might look like for you. But even if, let's say you teach a workshop and you have five people that attend, a captivated audience of five people is going to convert to more paying clients than like yelling into the void of thousands of people on Instagram who don't know you. Okay. And it's just so much easier to get people to trust you in person than like screaming out into the abyss on social media, whatever platform you're on. So again, lots of potential, like almost unlimited potential on social media to get clients, I would say. So it is a resource that we want to leverage. You have the opportunity to reach thousands and thousands and thousands of people, but we don't want to rely on this for our bread and butter when we're first starting out, because that can take time to build. Okay. Anybody like fundamentally disagree with me there? And it's absolutely okay. Cause I have a business, you have a business, you might have seen very, very different, stuff. Okay. So Deb agrees. So what does this look like? Getting people in person. I also want to just like shout out Elise here because she, like, I've watched this like evolution over the past year of her. And it's like been, I'm going to get a little teary eyed. It's been like amazing and inspiring and incredible to watch, especially because I know that in the beginning, Elise, you were like nervous about, you know, doing it and getting yourself out there. And Elise is a great example of somebody who is like boots on the ground, like has like just really got to know a lot of people in the community and collaborated with people in the community. And she's just everywhere now. I feel like she's everywhere now, and she's been able to build some local notoriety and a customer base based on the fact that she was like connecting with people locally. She's still on Instagram. She's still doing some cool shit online. You know, she's not saying, I'm not doing that anymore, but she's doing this, and she's prioritizing this. So she might be a good one to kind of check out in terms of like, what does this actually look like? You have been working hard. It's paying off. And I see you, like you're out there doing the hustle. I love it. Not doing the hustle. Not that hustle. Maybe a little bit. I don't know. Erin says she agrees. She spent too much time on the IG thing and it burnt me out. It did expand my viewers, but the clients it brought in were already people I knew who maybe just didn't exactly know what I did until they saw the content on Instagram, which is like a great way to leverage Instagram too. They're like, oh, you do that? Oh, okay. You know, so like, that's like a, that's pro column. That's a bonus, but it might not be the thing that like usher in your very first clientele. So where to start? Think about who you already have relationships built with and who you can build relationships with. So one of the very first things to do when you're just starting out is email your contact list. So like people that you already know, not like a newsletter list for your business, but like people like mom, dad, Uncle Frank, like people who you actually know, and just say, hey, this is what I'm doing now. If you think that you know anybody that could benefit from my services, please feel free to forward this email to them. If you decide to, you want to offer free workshops, hit up the people that you already know. Even if mom, dad, Uncle Frank don't come, they might know somebody who would be interested and willing to attend. So utilize the network that you already have. I think that that's like a little bit of, we can sometimes overlook the relationships that we already have. And it's not like we're trying to like hit up our friends and pitch our services to them. It's just that like, hey, I'm starting this new venture. Do you know anybody that would be interested? So that's the first thing. Sorry, it's going to be a little throaty. With why I love a workshop is because, and they can be paid and they can be free. I'm kind of like a big fan. You know how I feel about women getting paid for their work. In the beginning, I kind of did a lot for free, and I was a fan of just getting in front of people. Like if I get in front of people, then I can kind of convert them to customers. So you could do a paid workshop. You could do a free workshop. I think whatever felt the best to you, I would lean in that direction. And then at the end, you can pitch at the end. You can be like, oh, if this is something that you need help with, these are the services. And that I was saving this for like number four. I know you asked for three, but I would like sticking in number four at the end, which is make sure that people know what you do. They know what you offer. They know how you can help them, and they know how they can buy from you. That is something that we don't do. We're not really collectively very good at that. We just like assume that like they're going to kind of mind read what we do. I just was thinking about this. I follow this person for like kind of like astrology type stuff. And I just was like, I like your memes, you know? And then this week she started posting like one-on-one mentorship spots available, workshop available. She started like talking more about what she actually does for work. And I was like, oh, I'm going to sign up for that workshop. I'm interested in this one-on-one mentorship. Cool. But I had no idea because I wasn't like sleuthing around. I wasn't taking time out of my day to like sleuth around and be like, does this person have a website? What does she do? I was like, cool, Instagram content, memes, I love it. And then she started telling me, and then I was like, okay, now I'm interested. So we always have to, don't ever forget how important it is to continue to tell people, here's what I do. Here's how I can help you. Here's how you can pay me. Invite them in constantly. Michael, that's amazing. She did a workshop after Erin had suggested it when it was a bit slower, and it went so well and brought in a great amount of clients and still is. Workshops are like the gift that keep on giving. And the other thing is, like, you can create one workshop one time and then just like teach it to multiple places too. So I believe, I just don't know where it is in the curriculum. I should have looked it up ahead of time. My bad. But there's like a gut health kind of like workshop type of deal that I was like, use this as the bones of what you're going to teach. Like add your own personal flair. That's really important. Kind of like pepper in your stuff, but like you can use this as the bones. And it's like a really great starter package for a workshop. But you're showcasing to people what you know. You're showcasing to people your experience. You're explaining to them how you can help them. And so when you have their undivided attention right there, like in lockstep, it's so much, I've never walked away from a workshop without at least one paying client, usually multiple, because people are like, they're there and they want it. Carrie says, I once had a workshop and was bummed only six came, but three signed up for a 6-week course. So size doesn't matter either. 100%. Like that's incredible. That ROI, like you're not going to get, what is that? What's the ROI? 5 to 10? What? Please forgive me for my embarrassing math skills. I have the flu. It's brain fog. But that's a really bitchin' ROI. You know what I'm saying? Like that's really, really, really good. Or conversion rate. That's what I'm trying to say. Not even ROI. That's a phenomenal conversion rate that you're not going to get online. So I love that. Thank you for sharing, you guys. Okay, podcast buddies, I want to take a sec to shout out Organifi Green Apple Juice. Yum. It's like a healthy apple juice with all the benefits of the original green juice. If you don't love the taste of the original green juice, this one is for you. It's made with organic apples that are hand-picked, Golden Delicious, Northern Spy, Macintosh, Ida Red, and Empire. So real deal apples are up in this blend. It also has the added benefit of 600 milligrams of ashwagandha, which is an adaptogen that helps the body cope with stress and can balance out cortisol levels. It also has really potent and nourishing green plants like moringa, spirulina, and chlorella. It's so good. You're going to absolutely love it. Order it today. Head to Organifi.com/funk, Organifi.com/funk. And you can save 20% off your order with the code FUNK. When I start to feel my stress and anxiety kick it up a notch, like Emeril Lagasse, I personally lean on Ned's De-Stress Blend. It's a certified organic formula that features two powerful plant compounds, CBD, and then the lesser known CBG, which is considered the mother of all cannabinoids because of how effective it is for anxiety and stress. De-Stress Blend also features ashwagandha, one of my favorite adaptogens. And I think I say that about all the adaptogens, but ashwagandha was my gateway into adaptogenic herbs. So I do have a special love for it. Invest in yourself and fortify your stress response. Get 15% off of Ned's De-Stress Blend with code FUNK. Go to helloned.com/funk or enter code FUNK at checkout. That's helloned.com/FUNK to get 15% off. Thank you, Ned, for sponsoring the show and offering our listeners a natural remedy for some of life's most common health issues. So think about, so, you know, you could pitch to your immediate network, but then also think about the people that you interface with throughout the course of your day or your week or your month. Yoga studios, huge. Gyms, your chiropractor, massage therapists, salons. Like, where do you already spend time? Who do you already have relationships with? Start to have conversations. So yoga studios, I was big in the, I taught yoga. So like, that was my core community here. So I taught at, I knew people in the yoga community. So I, even the studios that I didn't teach at, other studio owners knew who I was. And so they were more likely to partner with me. I remember one of my friends saying to me, I was like really hurt by it, or like maybe offended. I don't know. And she's like, oh, it must be nice to be able to go to yoga classes in the middle of the workday. And I was like, this is like kind of like my job. Like, this is how I like boots on the ground, meet people. Like, this is how I like people get to know me and they get to know what I do by me showing faces in different communities, you know? And so I'm kind of glad that I put in that time because it helped to develop that know, like, and trust factor. So when I said to somebody, hey, do you want me to do a workshop at your studio? They're like, yeah, that's amazing. Awesome. On top of that, guys, I'm so sorry. On top of that, you get to kind of network out from their network. So I, at one of the yoga studios I was teaching workshops at, somebody was like, hey, my corporate office hires people for nutrition. And so I would travel to Andover, Mass, and teach workshops at this corporate place and do one-on-one coaching with the clients there too. So it's like, it gave me, she never hired me for any services, that one person, but she connected me to like thousands of dollars worth of services. So FaceTime is huge. PT office. My friend Kristen runs a PT office, but she wasn't my friend in the beginning. She was my physical therapist. And we just would talk, you know, about stuff, you know, work and health and all that kind of stuff while she was treating me. And I ended up renting office space from her and teaching workshops. I got so many clients from her, so many. My husband's office, when he worked at an office, I would go in and I would teach yoga. And then because they knew me and they knew I was like in the health space, that all converted to nutrition coaching clients as well. So I'm just giving like examples to kind of help expand, like we can be so tunnel vision of what it looks like, but there's really kind of like unlimited potential, but it's that FaceTime that can convert to clients a lot. And then you can use social media to kind of like document all of this. Right? You can almost consider social media like supplemental to your business at first. Now, once you start getting like a lot of clients and you want to kind of push for more of an online space, that's when you can put a lot more attention and time into social media. But in the beginning, you know, like use it as like a supplement. Any thoughts with that so far? And the other thing, there was a point here where I was like, I'm selling out all of my local workshops. Like they're all like standing room only. They're all being sold out. I was like, what if I just hosted my own workshop? And so I was going to rent a space, kind of like a retreat space, to host my own workshop. So not being attached to somebody else's business. And I had to cancel it because the signups were so partnering with somebody else really made such a big difference, and like leaning on and leveraging the relationships made a huge, huge difference. And I will say this for anybody who feels like maybe a little insecure about that, building a business will require you to build relationships. Hard stop. If you're like, I don't really want to do that. I don't really want to reach out to people. I don't really want to talk to people. You're not going to ever get a business off of the ground. It just doesn't work that way. So much of running a business is relationship building. And so this gives you like such an amazing way to do that. Now, the alternative, if you're like hell bent on online or bust, I only want to do online. I don't want to do anything in person. You're still going to have to build relationships. So maybe in that scenario, you're actively inviting people into your DMs and you're having conversations with them and you're nurturing them through one-on-one conversations and you're pitching your services through DMs, but it's still going to require you to build relationships somewhere. Elise says, I want to reiterate the workshop thing. I did one in November. And even though I didn't immediately get clients, I've since had several of the people who attended become clients. Yeah. It's like, can be a slow burn. Emily says, folks have been reaching out to me to ask if they can be a part of the workshops that I'm hosting. And it feels one-sided, as if they are marketing to my community, but at what value to me? Would love your feedback on co-collaborators. Emily, can you unmute yourself and just give me a little bit of an example of what specifically you mean?
Yes. So I've been, I host like quarterly workshops, and they'll usually be kind of geared around like equinox or solstice kind of events. And recently I've been having some people reach out to me being like, we'd like to be a vendor at your workshop and be like an IV nutrition therapy kind of thing or something like that. And it feels like they are kind of capitalizing on the community that I've put together and the workshop that I've put together and like kind of marketing to those people, but what do those people get out of it? And what kind of relationships are we kind of creating long term that could be of benefit? So I just would love your experience if you have anything like that with vendors kind of wanting to be at your retreat or at your workshops and whatnot or anything like that.
So is it you? So you are doing all of the marketing. Like it's Emily. People are like coming in for Emily.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, so for example, this, give me an example of who wanted to do it. It was like a
There was like an IV
injection.
nutrition.
Okay. So would they be like hooking people up to IVs?
So I think they would be doing more like intramuscular injections, but they're an IV nutrition company. So they do like mobile work. This is just an example of someone that reached out to me recently. But I was like, when I was kind of trying to respond to them, I was like, it feels sort of one-sided. It feels like you're just going to capitalize on my people and market yourself to them. And then, like, what do we get out of it from this whole thing? I don't want it to feel like icky marketing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like, I
I
want them
totally
to come
get
in
that.
and like have an, yeah, I want them to come in and like have an experience and not be like sold to.
I think that there's a way to do it tactfully and respectfully. If you think that, gosh, this could be like an added bonus, like somebody comes to my workshop and it might even bring in like a different type of clientele that maybe wouldn't come to your workshop, but now all of a sudden they're like, oh, I can get that there. Like that's a bonus. If you feel like it's bringing something to your table and can potentially expand your reach and or offer something different that you wouldn't be able to offer to your audience, I think in that scenario, it would be something to consider. You do want to make sure that the company and the brand is in alignment with, you know, your value system and all of that. That's an important thing too. But I would have them be responsible for marketing as well. So they're marketing your event to their audience. Like there would be a share, there would be expectations created around the actual marketing of the event and like really clear guidelines and contracts signed. And I would let clientele know ahead of time that these people will be here and for an additional cost. So it's like not part of the cost of the workshop. And so it's kind of like it's up to those people, like the other people, to kind of market and pitch like why it, you know, like why that is something that they would want to do. Does that make sense? So
Yeah,
it's like it takes
totally.
like so you're kind of sharing the responsibility of the marketing. So now your event is getting in front of their audience as well, which is can be a benefit. It's kind of low risk to you because if your clients come and they're like, we don't want those injections. We're good. We just came here for like the moon shit. Then you know, oh, it's like, okay, like that's not, you know, like that's not something that we need to repeat. They're not interested in it, whatever. I am a big fan of just kind of trying things out and experimenting. And if things are a bust, okay, we don't repeat that again. But I would go in with clear expectations, clear guidelines, and absolutely there's an expectation that they're going to be marketing the event if they want to be present at the event.
Okay, thank
That's
you.
kind of how I'd probably handle that. Okay. So like I said, so everything that you're doing in person, you can create so much social media content based off of that. The way that I started my podcast is like I was like, this is what I'm seeing in practice. This is what I'm seeing with people. If I'm seeing it here, it's probably happening on a bigger scale. And I just kind of started speaking to what I was seeing. And so it becomes a lot easier to produce content and educational information that lands with people when you're working with people first. And it's just, I can't say this enough. It is so much easier to meet a need that somebody has than to create a need. And I've done both. It's much easier when somebody's saying like, these are my problems, you creating solutions for the problems that people are aware of that they have versus being like, here's why you need functional labs. And people are like, what? You know, like creating a need. And so if you're not actively working with clients, it can be hard to know the self-identify needs of your customer base. Okay. And on top of that, it allows you to speak to them at like a fourth grade level versus a PhD level. And that's like another, I'm kind of like weaving in a lot of lessons into like, do this one thing. I'm like, also do these 17 other things too. But that's a common mistake, and I certainly have been guilty of this in the past and continue to be, is that we're like, I want to tell you everything, that I have so much good information up here. I know so much and I want to tell it to you. And people are like, it's too much. It's too much. And I used to get so mad. My first business coach was like, speak at a fourth grade level, stop speaking at a PhD level. And I was like, I do not want to dumb myself down. I don't like this. I do not like it. And kind of hate to admit it, but he's right. Because that just brings in people. You're speaking their language. You're talking to things in a way that they understand. And the best way to get to understand people and like what they need using their own words is to listen to people. So you have to be having those conversations. And I think in person is a really solid way to hear those conversations. Okay. So that's number one. In person. Start in person. You can do the social media thing on the side, but really fixate in person. Number two is focus on building reps. And this kind of aligns with what I said. It's like, just get that experience, but I'm going to take it a little bit further. So if you did the energetics of expansion, you remember at the very base of the pyramid is hone your craft. Like, just get really good at what you do. Like, be so good that they can't ignore you, right? Just get good at what you do. In the beginning, here's my advice. Say yes to everything. I know anti-hustle culture is like a whole thing. And, you know, like all of that, I get it. In the beginning, you gotta hustle. In the beginning, you gotta work your ass off. In the beginning, you're just saying yes. In the beginning, you might be doing paid work for free. It's just how it goes. And this is sort of an unpopular opinion, but I don't think the beginning is the time to niche down, because how are you going to know what you love to do? You know, like, how are you going to know that you love to do that forever and ever? My focus in the beginning was going to be on eating disorders and emotional eating. And I started doing that with clients and I was like, I don't want to do this. I actually don't want to do this. But if you start off by putting all of your focus on building an audience around a niche, and then you realize, oh, I don't know if I actually like this, and you want to change and pivot away from that niche, your audience probably won't follow you. That's the truth. Or if it's going to require a real heavy lift to get them to come along for the ride. So it's kind of like building from scratch. And so that's why I think niching can be so helpful for people to find you. And I'm not anti-niche. I'm just anti-niche in the very beginning. Like, get experiences, build your reps, figure it out, work with a shit ton of people, just say yes to everything. And that's the way that not only are you going to build up experience, but you're also going to understand what you really, really love to do. So, and the other thing is, like, I just see people starting out trying to like figure out their voice and they're like, this is what I do now. No, just kidding. I don't like that anymore. This is what I do now. This is what I do now. And it's part of that is like just part and parcel with figuring out who you are, but it doesn't help to build trust with an audience if you're changing all the time. They're like, who is she? What is she doing? I don't even know how she can help me. I'm out. So that's why I'm kind of a little bit anti-niche. Like, this is my pigeonhole. Just kidding. This is my pigeonhole. And then this is what my pigeonhole. Sarah says, that's exactly where I am now. Say yes to it all. And it's been super helpful to learn and understand the client population I want to work with. Exactly. I do want to shout out Chelsea Sanfilippo. I don't know if she's on the call today, but I asked her permission to use her as an example, because I think she is somebody who has really found footing with her voice and her message and her branding. And for a while, we've talked about this, Chelsea and I, like here in these calls, for a while, it wasn't really a clear message. She was a little bit all over the map, like hormones and gut healthing and like motivational quotes. And so when you landed on her Instagram, it was very hard to be like, how can this person help me? But so, and there is so much normalcy to that, right? You're just like throwing shit against a wall to see what sticks. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what my voice is. Let's just try it all, right? Let's just try it all. All the while, though, she was working with a wide range of clients. She wasn't pigeonholing herself into like, oh, I only do hormones. I only do this. She was working with a lot of people as she was finding herself as a practitioner, as she was finding her voice along the way. And now she has, if you go to her Instagram, you can see it's like a very clear and strong message. Like, I pick up what she's putting down. She's into cycles. She's into nature. She like bought a farm. She's like growing fruit. She's always in the mountains. She's in the rivers. Like, she's doing herby stuff. Like, it's very, even the colors that she uses is like very like earth tones, you know? And so it's super fucking clear now, but her niche came through building reps. Her niche was born out of working with a lot of people and figuring out, what do I like? What do I want to talk about? What am I passionate about? Right. And so give yourself permission to kind of just like throw things against a wall to see what sticks. But I think if you tried to be like, I do diarrhea and diarrhea only, and then in 2 months, you're like, I don't want to talk about loose stools anymore. I do infertility. That is a real hardcore about face, and people are going to get whiplash. And that's when we start to lose trust. So just kind of like get as much experience with as much as you can in the beginning. Cool. That's number two. This one is for my low-carby Barbies. If you're struggling with headaches, muscle cramps, or fatigue on a low-carb diet, you are probably low in electrolytes. This is for two reasons. One is that whole foods, keto, or low-carb diets are low in sodium. When you cut out packaged foods, you basically cut out your main dietary sources of sodium. Also, you excrete more sodium in a carb-restricted state. But the good news is that replenishing electrolytes can really rectify symptoms pretty darn quickly. Element is my personal electrolyte of choice. It's super yummy, has everything you need and nothing you don't. The reality is every single person needs electrolytes, but if you're active or you're on a low carb diet, you really extra need electrolytes to feel and perform your best. Right now, Element is offering my listeners a free sample pack with any purchase. That's 8 single serving packets for free with an Element order. It's a great way to try all the flavors, or you could share them with a friend. Get yours at drinkelement.com/funk. That is drinkelement.com/funk. Element offers a no questions asked refund, so you can try it risk-free. Are you trying to get healthier? Maybe you want to eat better or move your body more, but you struggle with willpower, productivity, or focus. If so, I've got you. My brand new sponsor, Neurohacker, combines 28 of their most research-backed nootropic ingredients in their ultimate brain fuel formula called Qualia Mind. It's been changing people's lives for years now. It's been changing mine for a few months, which is why I called them up and say, hey, do you want to sponsor the show? I love what your product is doing for my brain. Qualia Mind has really helped my focus, my mood, my willpower, my drive. I love it. All the ingredients really work in synergy with one another to support optimal brain function pathways, and you will feel it. If you don't, you can get your money back. Try it for 100 days, and if it doesn't work, if you're not totally stoked, get your money back. See what it can do for your mind. Go to neurohacker.com/funk to save $100 off and 15% off of your first purchase when you use code funk. That's neurohacker.com/FUNK to try Qualia Mind with the code funk. Number three is, and you've heard me say this before, no doubt, go ugly early. The thought, the idea that I'm going to wait until I build out the exact right offer, the exact right website, the exact right program, the exact right pricing, that is the thing that keeps people so stuck and so trapped. I've seen it time and time and time again. It holds people back from just getting started. I had somebody who spent 9 months working on the exact right offer. I was like, that's 9 months I would have been collecting cash from people and changing people's lives. But she was telling herself, like, I can't roll this out until I know exactly what it looks like. 2 months after she rolled out the exact right offer, do you want to know what she did? She fucking changed it. Because how do we know what the exact right offer is? We have to figure it out, like, as we go. Go ugly early. People want to know that you can help them. They don't give a shit about a perfectly branded website or perfectly sculpted copy. That stuff can come later, right? That comes later. It's important, but it doesn't have to happen right now. So you can spend so much time building out something that nobody wants. And that's wasted time. That's wasted energy. And that's time that you could have been making money and helping people. So I personally like to, oh, that's good. Your earn while you learn gave me heaps of anxiety, but has been so helpful for learning where to shift. Do you want to say more on that, Emily? I'm going to talk about, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, I launched a teacher training program for my studio, and we were in kind of a beta like period where we were trying to figure out what platform to utilize. And I was looking at Teachable and I was looking at School and I was looking at all these different platforms to kind of house all of the information. And we settled on one that was sort of, I don't know, subpar, but it was like, let's just get the people in. We had the demand. And so we needed to launch it, but I was really nervous and it gave me a lot of anxiety. And throughout the teacher training, that was the only piece that we decided to shift, like the lectures, the discussions, everything else was on point. So it was just the delivery of the information. And throughout the teacher training, we realized and we took feedback and figured out that that was the piece that needed to be improved. And then over the course of the last 9 months, we've been developing a new kind of platform to house everything on and really buttoned everything up. And so I was very trepidatious to even launch it because of, you know, this idea of kind of not feeling ready and wanting to dive in head first and whatnot. But when you had talked so heavily about the earn while you learn, and then I was like, okay, let's just do it. And it gave me anxiety, but it worked fine and everything went great. Now we know how to improve for the next group. So I'm into this beta launch thing that you do a lot of.
Fucking love a beta. I love a beta so much. That's exactly what I was going to talk about right now. So thank you for that segue. My dog's barking. I wonder what's going on outside. Perfection is the enemy of good. Absolutely. That is like a hardcore quote of mine for sure. I mean, not of mine, but like that's something that I've echoed in a mantra that I've definitely thought about an awful lot. So the reason that I love a beta tester is because it takes so much pressure off of me to get it exactly right. And I know doing this so much, I know that like everything is going to be like tweaked and refined, but like I can't anticipate people's feedback before I run the program, right? Like I can't, that's like impossible. So manifest your health. I'll talk about this a little bit. This has been something that has like been baking for like 3 years, like a solid 3 years. It is literally based off of 15 years of research. So every single time I thought about it, I was like, I'm so overwhelmed. It's too much. It's such a big project. When am I ever going to have the time? I found a journal of mine that I was like, it's so overwhelming. I don't know where to get started. That's all I said. That was the entire journal entry. I was like, I'm out. I can't do this. And so part of the reason I joined the Stanford program is because I knew that I had to create a program. So it was like, I was baking in that accountability. I like have probably joke with you. I spent $10,000 to hold myself accountable and a shit ton of time too, but I knew that I had to do this. And I'm like, I just have to start somewhere. I just have to start somewhere. And I kept being like, does it have to be like a 3-month program? Like it just felt so big. And I'm like, what if I just looked at my schedule and I was like, what do I have time to teach? I have 5 Tuesdays in June, or, you know, starting in June, I'm going to do that. That's it. So 5 weeks, I'm like, I have to teach this stuff in 5 modules. What does that look like? And I took a clipboard, literally I had a clipboard with paper and I just wrote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then I just wrote the topics. And then I like wrote some bullet points underneath. And that's how I got started. Literally that. I mean, I have like, I don't even want to tell you how many resources that I pulled from, but I had to start somewhere. And then I asked myself, I've taken myself through this process. Essentially, I am teaching people what I've done. And I want to include a lot of research, but ultimately I'm teaching people what I've done. So what is the process that I went through to get to the other side? Starting point, where I am now, what was the bridge that I built to get myself there? And I do talk about this in one of the modules, like how to build your own program. This is literally how I do it. It's like, what did I do? And so I started kind of thinking about that and mapping it out based off of that. And then I'm like, I'm going to see if anybody wants this. Because like the worst thing in the world is to spend months and months and months and months of your time building something and then be like, okay, cart open. And then it's like crickets. People are like, we don't want that. So rather than spend all the time building it out, I'm like, what if I just sold it first? And I did this with, when I first started my nutrition programs, like 12 years ago, I did this for CCP. I did this for YHR. I do this for everything. I'm like, I'm going to sell the concept first. I'm going to get proof of concept. People actually want this. And then I start building it out. And so if you're going this approach, and that's why I say go ugly early, just figure it out. If you're doing this approach, you need to build out enough time to actually build out the program. So really, so that it, during those 5 weeks, that was like the main focus of my work is like building out the program. the beta group, I kept it smaller. And I sold it without any details. I'm like, I was very transparent. I'm like, I don't really know what we're doing here. I'm building it out. This is a beta in every sense of the word. So it was low pressure for me. I didn't have to uphold any promises. I was just like, are you interested? And people were like, yeah, yeah, we're interested. Like, it was the weirdest thing. I was like, okay. In 5 days, it was beyond sold out. So I just created it as I went. And so I had planned on 5 classes. Halfway through, I'm like, people need another class. We need to build in a little like breathing room right now. And so I wouldn't have known that had I not been actively leading people through the process. I'm like, this is going to be messy. It's going to be a little bit bumpy. We're going to figure it out together and like, let's go. And then I was able to give people what they needed in that program. And then the second time, so I take people through a beta test. I don't really overpromise because I don't really know what I'm promising, right? And then people go through it and they have experiences and I collect testimonials and I start to hone the details of what the program is. And so for the second round, now I have marketing material. And so I start talking about the testimonials. These are the results that you can expect. This is exactly what we do. I can speak to what it is and what it does. And so that's why I love a beta group. That's why I say go ugly early. Just push it into motion and figure it out as you go. I think that that's probably like the strongest piece of business advice I could give anybody anywhere ever. And then I also like wrote this down. It's like kind of like a sad little, like there's no context or anything. It just says build an email list. I don't know. I think it's important. I kind of wish I had like started building an email list earlier. We have on like 10, just under 10,000 people. So for the size of my audience, like my email list could be a lot bigger. It's just nothing I've really put a tremendous amount of focus on. And so we're kind of doing that now, but it's just like a really, you know, like you have people's attention and you own that email list. And so I think that's an important thing to do. Like in the beginning, I'm like, should have, could have, would have, but like, I would probably have benefited from starting to prioritize an email list. So that's like, that was like the little afterthought one. And then the final thing that I will say here, but it's such a good question that I really wanted to take a lot of time to answer this because I think a lot of people are in similar boats. The last one, and it's not like a tactile, like tangible thing. It's has everything to do with support. We were watching a stand-up recently, and this guy was talking about dream crushers is what he called them. And he's like, fuck dream crushers. And we have a lot of people in our lives that can kind of crush our dreams. And usually it's from people that like want to keep us safe and keep us small, but that can really kind of bake into our confidence, like our sense of self-worth. Like, can I actually do this? So I would say in the beginning and kind of all along, make sure you stay away from the dream crushers. Like I don't like dream crushers don't bother me now. Cause I'm like, fucking hold my beer. You think I can't do it? Like, okay, sure. I'm going to do it 3 times while you sleep. Like it doesn't bother me now because I've proven myself to myself over the past however many years. But in the beginning, if somebody was like, you probably like, if I just had people that didn't support me, it would be really, really tough. So find people that hold the vision of what you're building and what you're creating. I'm so fortunate that my husband was one of those people for me. My mom was too. So like my two, like, you know, closest people like really did that for me. When you get flaky and shaky, you will, by the way, they can pull you up rather than try to convince you to throw in the towel. Okay. Like you want the people that like are constantly like holding you to the standard that you set for yourself, holding you to your goals. Find people who inspire you and motivate you to be your best, your most expressed version of yourself, and they hold you accountable to that. So things really changed and took off for me when I started talking to two friends, Emily and Sarah, on Voxer, on the Voxer app. It's just like a free walkie-talkie app. And it was like almost like we created this little mastermind for ourselves, but we were all business owners. We were all entrepreneurs. We were all trying to grow. We like were signing up for courses together. And so we would talk through what we were learning. And that kind of like helped me do a little quantum leap. That really helped to amplify things. And I always think about that. And I think it because it removed the sense of isolation. And for a lot of years, I didn't have like entrepreneur pals. I didn't have anyone who really understood what I was doing. So I felt very, very isolated and alone. And I think that instigated a lot of shame in me. Like, I'm like, why am I so weird? Why am I so different? Why don't I have like a normal job? It was like a big shame trigger. And I think if I had had support, and like I had support, but if I had had like a connection of like other entrepreneurs and I was like talking to them every day, I think that like people who really got it, I think that I probably could have gone bigger sooner. I don't like to do the whole regret thing because I really appreciate where I'm at, and I appreciate everything has led me up into this point. But I do think about that. It's like, I think I could have made it easier on myself by removing the sense of shame that I felt about doing something so radically different than what other people in my life was doing. So that's just kind of a more of like an emotional type of thing. Elise says, I had to stop talking about my business with certain people and only talk to the people who are like, you go girl. It's been a game changer. Yes, totally. You'll also, and this is probably, we'll stick a pin in this maybe conversation for another day, but there will also be people who support you up into a certain point. And your success, and your ambition and your drive can instigate feelings of lack of worth in them. And that dynamic can get really, really funky and clunky. It's like they give you permission to grow this much. And then once you go beyond that, it becomes a problem in the relationship. And sadly, that is a common thing for some folks. Okay. So that was a mouthful. Thank you for that question, Cynthia. I think it was a really, really good one. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Functional Nutrition Podcast. If you got something from today's show, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, share with a friend, and keep coming back for more. Take care of you.